Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, in the last hour, as you heard there in the news headlines, President Donald Trump has said that Vladimir Putin put out a very promising statement, but it wasn't complete, and that he was willing to talk to the Russian president to secure a ceasefire. This comes after President Putin said this afternoon that Russia was technically in favour of the proposed ceasefire in Ukraine, but warned there were nuances and serious issues that needed to be resolved before more progress is made. Well, for the latest, we're joined now by Belle True, the Independent's chief international correspondent, and Ukrainian MP Lesia Vasilenko. And Lesia Vasilenko, I might come to yourself first, and you're very welcome to the programme. I might just get your initial reaction to those comments from Vladimir Putin.
Well, the initial reaction is that Russia is... I don't see how Russia is ready for a ceasefire, because they are saying that the ceasefire needs to be conditioned, and their conditions are not quite so acceptable to Ukraine.
And which of the conditions that Vladimir Putin has laid out are not acceptable? I don't know, we may have lost Lesia Vasilenko. We've lost Lesia. We'll try and get her back on the line, but I might come to Belle True, who's also on the line. And Belle, you've been writing today, actually, about the horrors of the three-year war in Ukraine. Before we look at what you've been looking at over the last 3 years, what's your reaction to what Vladimir Putin has said?
Well, as your previous speaker was just saying, Vladimir Putin said that he doesn't want to have a temporary pause. There's been comments previously from Kremlin officials saying that a pause would just allow Ukraine to regroup. They want to have a long-lasting peace, or at least a deal. Question is, on what terms? Putin said last year that he would insist, for example, that the four regions that they have captured territory in since the full-scale invasion in 2022, all of those regions be handed over to Russia. So that includes places like Zaporizhia, Kherson, Donetsk and Luhansk. That, of course, would be completely unacceptable to Ukrainians, because that would be ceding more land. They've also talked, Putin's also said that one of the conditions would be that Ukraine drops any bid to be in NATO. Now, that would also be something that would be partially contentious to the Ukrainians. So we have some pretty major stumbling blocks here in terms of what the details of the deal would look like. But certainly, I was speaking to senior Ukrainian officials today who've been present around the talks, and they told me they are committed to a ceasefire plan. They want it to be a long-lasting and just peace. There's no interest in them ceding any more of their territory that they've already lost.
So do you think it's possible, given those conditions that Vladimir Putin has laid out, that he knows they won't be acceptable to Ukraine, rather than saying a flat out no to Donald Trump, he puts in conditions that he knows the Ukrainians can't agree to?
Well, certainly speaking to Ukrainian officials, they said that they don't trust Putin, that he's playing a game, that he may well come forward with this yes, but way of dealing with the US, because he doesn't want to lose this moment of a connection with Donald Trump. At the same time, they are, they don't necessarily believe that Russia wants to go for a ceasefire right now. Russia is advancing in Kursk region. Ukrainians have only got a slither of land left in Russia. They're also advancing very slowly, but they have been advancing in the north and the eastern parts of Ukraine. So for Russia, they are, on a forward footing at the moment. So now wouldn't necessarily be the right time for them to have a ceasefire. That is why the Ukrainians are deeply suspicious of Putin's comments. But at the same time, this is, once in a lifetime chance for partnerships with the US administration.
Mm. We have Lesia Vasilenko back on the line. And Lesia, I don't think you heard much of what Belle True had to say there, but she was outlining the various different conditions that Vladimir Putin has laid out. And in her view, Ukrainians are very suspicious of what Vladimir Putin might be doing here. Would you agree with that?
So coming back to your question on which we were interrupted, why the conditions that Putin has laid out are unacceptable. So Putin has said that he would agree to a ceasefire if there would be guarantees that Ukraine will not continue with the mobilization, and that weapon deliveries to Ukraine will be halted and stopped for this period of the 30 days. Now, this is unacceptable to Ukraine, because this is basically Russia's initial plan to make sure that Ukraine is demilitarized and to make sure that Ukraine is weak and unable to defend itself. Because Vladimir Putin knows very well, for 30 days, not to have a mobilization, not to have any kind of preparations, to let the soldiers go, it will mean that all along the front line, there will be a significant weakening. Not receiving any weapon systems and weapons per se will also weaken Ukraine's ability to defend itself in the future. And Ukraine, first and foremost, we don't even have the trust that the Russians are able to keep to the ceasefire for one day. In the previous years, from 2015 to 2022, we were living in a so-called ceasefire. So-called because every day there were provocations along the front line. Every day Russia would be shooting out at Ukrainians. So for us, we have no trust. And if there is a way to actually guarantee that Ukraine adheres to Russia's conditions, because we are open to the international observers, we are open to all of our international partners, there is no way to guarantee and make sure that Russia on its side will also not be mobilizing for these 30 days, will not be growing its military capacity and capability, because Russia is a closed-off state. They do not allow any international observers in any sphere or segment of just general life and operations.
Okay, so there is a suggestion at this point that both Putin and Donald Trump have both suggested they may speak to each other as sort of the next step. Now, would you be concerned that Vladimir Putin will be putting those conditions to Donald Trump and that Donald Trump might agree with them?
Well, at the moment, what we see coming out from the White House and from President Trump, it's I would say semi-reassuring, because he hasn't fully accepted what Putin has said. He has been commenting that Vladimir Putin's statement is not a complete one, and that it's not exactly what President Trump was hoping for. Again, I would still like to remain hopeful and focus on the words of President Trump when he said that he is prepared and has the capacity to make Russia pay and suffer economically, and that he is willing to make it very hard for Russia should there be not enough willingness to adhere to the ceasefire and to the proposed steps towards long-standing peace.
Beltrú, I might bring you back in because I know you have been investigating Russian behaviour in the occupied territories. And as you say, one of the things that Vladimir Putin is talking about is holding on to those occupied territories as part of this negotiation. Can you talk to me about what you've documented?
Well, over the last few years, since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, we obviously saw initially what life was like under occupation when we had the liberation of areas like Bucha around Kyiv, also in Kharkiv in the north, and in the end of 2022 in the south in Kherson. Every time they withdrew, we saw torture chambers, people coming forward, telling stories of enforced disappearances, killings, summary executions, etc. But what we were specifically looking at also was the forcible transfer of the population. Now, this has been widely covered in terms of children, but also I tracked hundreds, if not thousands, of people with disabilities who were forcibly taken from occupied territory, deeper into occupied territory, or even to Russia. And the reason why this is important is there's deep concerns about the Russification, the change of the demographics on the ground in occupied territory. And then, very credible reports and people I've spoken to who said that they're being forced to accept Russian passports to secure social services, pensions, medical treatments. There's also concerns about the re-education of children, so that they're not allowed to learn the Ukrainian language. They must learn the Russian language, the Russian version of history. There's also concerns that people with disabilities and children are being held incommunicado. They're not being allowed access to their families. So there has been, at least from our investigations, a concerted effort to change the demographics on the ground in occupied territory, to turn them into mini Russias, and therefore change potentially the future of those territories, even if there is a ceasefire or not. And that was what our concern was, is that it will become a de facto part of Russia, even if the annexation is deemed illegal by the international community.
So, Lesia, can I ask you then about where this goes from here, in your view? So we have this phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, and I know you're saying you're holding on to some hope, given what Donald Trump has said thus far. But Do you expect Ukraine will be required to make further capitulation, I suppose, or give further compromise in order to get Russia on board? Or if not, where does this go?
Okay, hopefully it will not go as far as capitulation, but further compromise is probably what we will be pushed for. I'm not sure we are ready to go into that compromise, that we will not be receiving foreign military aid, and that we will not be that we will cease any kind of mobilization for this period, because again, the whole point of restoring the negotiations was about getting back the American military aid. Because clearly Ukraine cannot be left defenseless. We are not in the position today to give up our capacity to defend ourselves. We are not sure about Europe's capacity, not willingness. There's a political willingness. There's a full-on willingness of Europe to stand strong with Ukraine and to defend Ukraine, whatever it takes. It's just the problem is that there is no whatever it takes. Europe has not been ready to meet the challenges and the very real risks of a defense catastrophe. And the United States being under the current leadership is also a complicated story. So basically, Ukraine needs to keep all means possible to defend itself.
A final word to yourself, Beltrú, on where you see these negotiations going. And would you have concerns that the United States in Donald Trump's bid to get a deal might force a deal that is not fair for Ukraine, or perhaps won't secure the future of Ukraine?
As I was speaking, as I said, to some senior Ukrainian officials today, and they sounded a lot more positive than how everyone was feeling, just a few days ago after the press conference and the meeting between Donald Trump and Zelensky, which appeared to go so badly. They were saying that there was a good relationship between Ukraine and the US. They had, an understanding that Ukraine was very committed to a peace deal, but obviously not one requires it to give up its complete sovereignty. Obviously, and that they were determined, but they don't trust Russian side. I think, the US has made it very clear, Donald Trump has made it very clear that it's almost like a personal mission for him to get a deal done. Mm. And there has been some concerns that, he would be willing to push Ukraine to do things that it would, that was not in its interests. But there does seem to be interest on nearly all sides for this to go somewhere. And there is a desperation for a ceasefire. This conflict has ground on. It has come at a huge cost to Ukraine. The Ukrainian military has been pushed to the very limits. It's been fighting a battle, that no normal Western military would accept to do, almost with its hands tied behind its back without the weapons that it needs, massively outnumbered and outgunned. So I think at this point, there is a lot of will, at least according to Ukrainian officials I'm speaking to, the relationship with the US is going better. But there's obviously the devil's in the detail, to use this phrase. It depends exactly what Russia is demanding, what Ukraine would be willing to do, and how the US will play the intermediary role.
Beltrú and Lesia Vasilenko, thank you both very much for joining us on the programme this evening.